Welcome to this good Sunday morning. Welcome to all who are here with us, and welcome to all who are joining us online. And together in this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, we will experience God together in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We have moved our baptismal font to the back, and we think it might remain there. We're open to some feedback, but at this time, I ask all who are able to rise, to stand, knowing that those who cannot stand, stand with you. And we will journey to our baptismal font. We are open to some feedback with this, but the church, the traditional place for the font is in the entrance point of this church to signify how we enter into this miracle of God's presence with us is through our waters of baptism. So let us begin worship today in the words in our bulletin. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Let us pray. Holy and merciful,
holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew.
Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crop and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving waters of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation.
Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you.
Empower our witness to your resurrection.
Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all.
Satisfy the world's needs through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who is with you and the Spirit, and reigns now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Christ is made the church of nations, Christ our Mother, Lord.
grace of our Lord, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace
to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And this is the point where I invite any children forward for a children's message, but since we don't have any today, you all are now children. So our text today is about finding the way. And so I was going to bring out a blast from the past for all of us. It's a map. In the day of GPS, I know maybe our children haven't maybe encountered a map, so I was going to remind them of a time before they were born when one person would be driving and another person would be flipping through pages after pages after pages to find where you're going. I think distracted driving, it was invented then as you were trying to. But now it's much simpler. We have GPS. We just put in the location. So I was going to pull out my phone, and I was going to put in something like, say, heaven, and see where my GPS would take me. And just like our physical map, we can't find these things on our GPS. The closest we could get maybe is to a church. But then comes the question, how then do we know the way to God? And the children could have responded many different ways. Hopefully, with all of our great education, they would have pointed to the baptismal font or the Lord's table, and they would have said, that's where we find God. If they didn't, then that's okay. But then I'd also remember what Jesus comes to say in our message, is that this way of God is now open to us all through Christ to know that God is not in a GPS map up in heaven, not in a faraway place, but in us. And in us, God reigns and loves us, and that is how we find the way. So let us pray. Bring our hands out together. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for living in us.
Thank you for living in us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
First reading from Acts chapter 7. Hear now the word. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 31. Please join me responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my threshold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. For you are my tower of strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit. For you have redeemed
Second reading, a reading from 1 Peter. Hear now the word. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. And the stone that makes them stumble, and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty works of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to this place where I am going." "How can we know the way?" Then Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you that the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I am told that sound you're hearing is a woodpecker. Nothing wrong with our sound system, and we simply have to commune with that woodpecker for however long he or she wishes to be there. In the book The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, he tells the story of a shepherd boy. And I will admit that my own interpretation of this story may be contrary to the author's intent. But this story to me speaks of the Christian journey. And in this story, this shepherd boy in the hills of Spain goes to sleep one day and dreams of a treasure. And he finds this treasure in his dream. And the rest of the novel is about him going off on this extravagant journey to find this treasure. This journey takes him all the way to the pyramids in Egypt. And then he discovers that he must journey back. And this treasure itself is in the very same place that he had this dream. This treasure was with him the whole time. And on a similar note, Karl Barth, the very famous theologian of last century, resisted the Nazification of Germany and went on to write massive volumes of Christian theology, was in a tour in America. It was one of his last tours, and he was asked by the crowd what was his most meaningful thing he had ever heard about God. And he paused for a moment and said, it was that children's song, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And before we misinterpret, as has been done, what he was saying, he was not saying that the work of deeply pondering the mystery of God is useless because all you need is this children's song. It's in the same vein as our shepherd boy. It is this journey of Karl Barth through his whole life in all the years of study and exploring this mystery, that there at the end of this journey, he was only beginning to understand what the words of that song. It is this exploratoriness, this life of the journey that we receive these messages. And there's no shortcut for that journey. And I think that's why religion in America is misunderstood, because we as Americans want the destination. We want the answers. We want to be there. We don't like the process. It's this journey today, and this is what I'm all bringing us to, is this journey is what our text today is about. It's another one of those pre-Easter texts that we read after Easter, but we are back to that night of the Last Supper. And Jesus has just told his disciples that he is leaving, things are going to be really bad, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Because Christ is going on a journey, and his disciples now will journey on in this new reality, this new journey post-Easter, but prior to Christ's return. And notice, too, how my analogy of this shepherd boy connects with this text. Notice what Jesus says to his friends. He says, you know the way. He does not say you must find the way, you must search for the way, you must earn the way. He says you know. In the present tense, you know now. And then he tells them that you have seen the Father. And again, not that you must climb up to heaven to get there, not that you must do all these things to have this vision, but that you have seen this vision. Both of these are present realities to our disciples, and these are present realities to us today. Our journey is not to find them, to search for them, to earn them. Our journey is to remain with God and know that God is here with us and in us now. And that is what brings Jesus to speak of my Father's house. And I will tread carefully here, because this is our most precious of funeral texts. We hear it at funerals, and it speaks to us of a hope of the future and of our place in heaven. And while all that is true, I don't think that this is how Jesus meant this text to be heard. Because the Father's house is only ever used in the gospel for one thing, and that is the temple in Jerusalem. That stone and mortar building in the heart of the city where it was said you could come and experience God, the moment of heaven and earth meeting in that temple. And this is the place you can come. But of course, the temple, you can come to the temple, to that inner court, only if you were of a certain nationality. And only if you were male. And you could only enter that temple if you were a priest. And only into the inner part of that temple unless you were the high priest. And this is my Father's house that Jesus refers to. But there is now a new reality that Jesus points to as the way, the truth, and the life. Is it now through Christ? It is no longer in a temple of exclusion that we come to know God. But that God has now, through the work of Christ, come down from heaven, done the work to open up access for all, and not a house there or up there, but that house now has come, as Jesus said, back to remain with you. So where I am, there you will be. And where we are is where God has made the home with us. And that is our journey in life, to come into that fullness of that reality in our own lives. That God loves you, that God is in you, that we move in and around God. And I know I'm a stickler for the sacraments. I'm always fussing about where they're put, how they're placed. It's because the sacraments speak this to us, that here is this incarnate God come down to be present in water, to be present in bread and wine, that we can come and touch and see this is God. In that physical coming down reality is but the symbol of the reality that is true. true for us. That if God is in bread and in water, then God is in you. And in God, there is life. This house of God now rests in you and in all of you. Amen.
Intercession. United in the hope of and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of life, strengthen your church to proclaim your gospel even in times of trouble. As we remember Stephen, we give thanks for diaconal ministry. Bless all deacons and strengthen them for their bridge-building ministry between church and world. Your mercy is great. You may respond with the black.
Your mercy is great.
Thank you. Creating God, you show your steadfast love through mighty waters, towering mountains, verdant fields, and arid deserts. Protect the earth's diverse habitats from the forces of pollution and erosion, extinction, and global warming. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mighty God, your Spirit guides us into all truth. Give wisdom to the world and local leaders and organizations as they begin, build, and renew relationships. Strengthen leaders and aid organizations in areas needed to be rebuilt following conflict, unrest, or natural disaster. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, you make your home among us. Abide with refugees, those experiencing homelessness, those fleeing war and poverty, and all who question if there is a home in your heart. We pray for all who are sick, especially Aaron, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Madeline, Era, Penelope, Wyla, Karen, Brian, Meredith and family, and the victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and people of Furlan Lutheran Church. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Assuring God, you accompany your people amid uncertainty and change. Uphold people in this community who have recently moved and changed jobs or schools, retired, or are going through transitions of any kind. Lead us in your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renewing God, you gather the saints at your heavenly banquet, and we give you thanks for the care shown us by those who have gone before us. Grant confidence and comfort for all awaiting the place you have prepared. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
May the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Please rise if you're able as we prepare our hearts to receive this meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his solitary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receive the forgiveness of sins, and be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
May we pray now as Jesus taught us. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome to this table. The moment the usher will come forward, we ask you to come with your hand up to receive the elements in your hand, and then to approach the wine to receive whichever one you want. The lighter color is grape juice. And know that if you wish to come just for a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know that this table of God is open to all, and all are welcome here.
Receive the living water, and my heart is full of
keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we take a moment for announcements for the good of the congregation, and Arnie has the microphone, so raise your hand up.
Social Ministry has a new drive going for the month of May. We are collecting 1 to 3 pound cans or bags of coffee to donate to Grace Winds Haven. So if you'd like to help Grace Winds Haven with serving hot coffee to people in need, please leave your cans or bags of coffee on the cart in the narthex. Dan estimates that they serve 400 or 500 cups of coffee a day many days. So coffee donations are much appreciated by them. Thank you.
Ground.
Yeah, that was ground coffee. Any more we got? Well, we want to just announce that on Saturday we'll be having the funeral for Harvey Dufresne at 1 p.m. here. For those who wish to come and remember that our life, 1 p.m. on Saturday. And without seeing any more announcements, we prepare our hearts to receive the benediction. The God of all, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live into new creation.
Amen. Amen.
Church is one foundation, is Jesus.
in peace, serve the risen Lord.
Thanks be to God.